The Naffy divorce is getting messy. Patty Wagstaff's court records are released by Winnebago County. And Embraer says it's being smeared by a bribery accusation. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 3rd, 2009. Late last year, a vocal group of CFIs, upset with a few positions of the National Association of Flight Instructors in particular, and the way the board of directors is elected in general, formed a group calling itself TBO-NAFI, a clever abbreviation for Take Back Our NAFI, combined with a reference to an overhaul. TBO demanded bylaw changes, including a board elected by the membership, but after firing a few shots across the bow, agreed to a truce until January 31st of this year, requested by EAA President Tom Poberesny, to allow for the NAFI board to gather its thoughts. By last week's passing of that deadline, NAFI had vaguely promised to take up bylaw changes at its spring meeting and was being advised by a PR firm. Yesterday, on the first full business day after the passing of the deadline, TBO-NAFI called off the truce, and things started happening quickly. As of our deadline for this AeroCast, 121 people had signed TBO's online petition calling for the resignation of the entire NAFI board. TBO has also asked the EAA to terminate its affiliation with NAFI. NAFI Director Robert Wright resigned his seat and renounced his membership in the organization. Quote, "I am taking these actions primarily to protest the appalling and completely unjustified removal of Directors Sandy and Joanne Hill from the NAFI board on January 20, 2009. As a board member from October 2005 to the present, I observed no action or behavior on their part that would warrant such action," unquote. Wright adds he was the FAA's senior executive for general aviation from 2001 to 2005. Quote, "It was only the integrity and professionalism of Sandy and Joanne Hill that allowed me to recognize participation in the Master Instructor Program as a method of flight instructor renewal," unquote. TBO says the nine members of NAFI's Professional Standards Committee have also resigned. Their role in evaluating applications for Master Instructor credentials had already been assigned by the directors of NAFI to a new committee. Around 400 members of TBO are being asked to vote for a name for a new organization, which will be incorporated as quickly as possible as a 501c3 if the NAFI board doesn't respond acceptably by Friday. Doug Stewart, 2004 National CFI of the Year and spokesman for the TBO-NAFI Interim Working Group, says TBO's emphasis will shift toward a positive look to the future. Doug will be my guest today on the Aero News special feature. There's more fallout from Patty Wagstaff's DUI arrest last July 31st at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. The aerobatic performer has settled the legal issues, but the Oshkosh Northwestern has received more details on the case through an open records request to the Winnebago County District Attorney's Office. Reports made by officers paint Wagstaff as intoxicated, stubborn, verbally abusive, and physically uncooperative. She's credited with slurred speech, rudeness, and profanity. Wagstaff admitted Friday she probably did use a few choice words during her booking, quote, "because I'm not used to being treated that way," unquote. She adds she made a mistake and got on the runway, but had a pass to be there, quote, "it's totally normal, it's expected, it's another part of what's so bizarre about the whole thing," unquote. Alan Klapmeyer of Cirrus Design, which sponsors Wagstaff, said he saw no evidence of alcoholic issues when he talked directly to her 15 minutes before the arrest, and added he is, quote, "disappointed that only one side of the story has come out," unquote. Brazilian plane maker Embraer is pushing back against the claims of a widow who says she bribed officials of the Colombian government to facilitate the sale of an Embraer Super Tucano aircraft and is owed an $18 million bonus from the company for her part in the sale. The company admits having contracted in 2000 with Eximco, where Guillermo Garcia Gil worked, to promote the sale. But in 2002, the government decided not to buy, and the contract with Eximco ended 2 months later. Then, 3 years after that contract expired and 2 years after Gil's death, a new bidding process resulted in a sale to the government in a deal signed in December of 2005. Embraer calls the bribery allegations from Gil's widow libelous and says it's considering appropriate legal measures. The FAA yesterday renewed its urgent call for owners and operators of many legacy Cessna high-wing aircraft to to inspect seat tracks on their planes for signs of potentially fatal wearing of the seat retention pins. The latest safety alert for operators concerns an airworthiness directive which calls for inspection and mandates the repair or replacement as necessary of those seat tracks. Failure of worn tracks has been noted as a factor in some departure stall accidents when pilots whose seats had suddenly slid backwards held onto control yokes. The agency notes that service difficulty reports and accident statistics suggest the AD is not being followed. Up next on ANN, AAI Acquisitions Plan B appears to be working out. Opponents of the expansion at O'Hare play the religion card. And here's why you should always pay attention in ground school. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. AAI Acquisition Incorporated, the company formed to take over the assets of bankrupt Adam Aircraft, ran into trouble itself last year when Russian credit markets dried up. Unable to move forward with development of the A700 business jet, the company trimmed staff, then set about marketing its engineering expertise to stay in business. Now, in an announcement on Sunday, AAIA VP of Business Development Steve Patrick says that effort has yielded success and it's time to find investors to grow. Quote, based on our initial efforts, we're building a viable business base for our engineering solutions and services while retaining the option to relaunch the A700 business jet, unquote. AAIA offers aerospace design and touts a proprietary out-of-autoclave fabrication technique developed for aircraft, but which also has the potential for application in a wide range of other industries. Opponents of O'Hare Airport expansion in Chicago are using an interesting new tactic to fight growth. More than 150 family members of people buried in St. Johann's Cemetery, located next to O'Hare, have filed a petition to stop the city from removing those graves. Religious experts and lawyers agree the outcome of the dispute could have widespread implications for religious rights in the U.S. The Reverend Michael Kirchhoff Sr. comments, quote, St. Johann's is an active cemetery, and destroying it not only desecrates holy ground, but also affronts the religious beliefs of the people buried there and their living family members, unquote. There are about 1,300 individuals whose remains have been buried there. The petition asserts the destruction of the cemetery constitutes a violation of the Illinois Religious and Restoration Act. Quote, petitioners have a central religious belief that the graves of those departed and buried in the consecrated ground of St. Johann's must remain inviolate and undisturbed, unquote. Yeah, tell me about it, says the Iroquois Indian historian as he smirks at the irony. At least one skydiver will never take ground school for granted. South Carolina's Rock Hill Herald reports that a first-time jumper and an instructor from the Skydive Carolina Parachute Center were performing a tandem jump, the first ever jump for the student, and it turned out to be a memorable one. About a minute into Saturday's jump, the 49-year-old instructor apparently suffered a heart attack. The student, who'd been through the 30-minute safety course given all first-time jumpers, was able to land the parachute with the incapacitated instructor safely. However, despite the student's employment of CPR, the instructor didn't pull through. Chester County Coroner Terry Tinker said the descent just took too much time to allow a chance to save the instructor. The U.S. Navy retired the last Lockheed Martin S-3 Viking from fleet service in ceremonies at Naval Air Station Jacksonville Friday morning, closing out the aircraft's distinguished 35-year naval career. Development of the S-3 began in the summer of 69, with first flight in early 72. Sea Control Squadron 41, the S-3 training unit known as Shamrocks, and the first operational S-3 unit, received its first aircraft in February of 1974. A total of 187 S-3s were built between 71 and 78. Over its career, the Viking served with 18 Navy squadrons and accumulated about 1.7 million flight hours. Ray Burick, Lockheed Martin VP of P-3 and S-3 programs, observed, quote, the S-3 Viking was known as the Swiss Army knife of naval aviation. The Viking has played a critical role in carrier-based anti-submarine and anti-surface warfare, as well as overland operations, refueling, targeting, and electronic surveillance, unquote. Burek adds proudly that many of these roles will eventually be carried out by Lockheed's own F-35C Lightning II. Still ahead, Airbus has new partners in China. Sikorsky's X-2 demonstrator completes phase one. And speak with care. You never know when your words will be the last they hear. You're listening to AeroNews.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 3rd. I'm Paul Platt. Airbus and a group of Chinese industrial partners signed a contract yesterday to establish a joint venture manufacturing center in Harbin, China, to manufacture composite parts for the Airbus A350 and A320 aircraft families. The Harbin Hefei Airbus Composite Manufacturing Center Company Limited will include partners Harbin Aircraft Industry Group Company Limited with a 50% stake, Airbus China with 20%, and three other partners, each holding a 10% stake. Building is slated to begin this September and manufacturing operations by the end of 2010. One important role of the plant will be helping reach Airbus's commitment to the Chinese government of sourcing 5% of the A350 XWB airframe in China. These components will be manufactured using the latest composite manufacturing technology based on Airbus standards and processes. Airbus says the total value of industrial cooperation with China is expected to be near $200 million per year in 2010 and $450 million per year in 2015. Sikorsky Aircraft says it achieved a major milestone in its X-2 technology demonstrator program by successfully ground testing the aircraft with its pusher propeller. The test, conducted January 23rd, used the fly-by-wire pitch control system with a rotating high-speed pusher prop for the first time. The program testing has been continuing at Sikorsky's Schweitzer Aircraft Corporation Rapid Prototyping Facility in Horseheads, New York, since the demonstrator's first flight on August 27th last year. The company says thrust met specs, as did the operation of the drive and oiling systems. Sikorsky VP of Research and Engineering Mark Miller offered, quote, "This ground test milestone effectively completes phase one of the four-phase X-2 technology development test program. We are looking forward to completing the remainder of the envelope expansion phases and achieving 250 knots at the completion of phase four by the end of the year," unquote. The X-2 is intended to demonstrate a suite of technologies which will allow a coaxial helicopter to cruise comfortably at 250 knots while still offering excellent low-speed handling, efficient hovering and auto-rotation safety, and a seamless and simple transition to high speed. Southwest Airlines Friday announced some positive labor news. Maintenance workers, represented by the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association, voted to ratify a tentative four-year agreement reached in December. The new contract will be signed today in Dallas and covers members through August 16, 2012. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly commented, quote, "In light of these challenging economic times, the teams delivered a cost-neutral contract that protects jobs and preserves our unique and proud culture," unquote. The company says the new contract includes raises in exchange for work rule improvements, scheduling flexibility, increased productivity, and gained efficiencies, and strengthens job security and protection. In a separate announcement, Southwest announced agreement in principle with the Southwest Airlines Pilot Association on a new 5-year agreement through August 31st of 2011. The carrier says the deal includes raises and increased retirement benefits for pilots. It still faces review and approval by the union's board and a ratification vote by pilots. And finally, today is the 50th anniversary of what songwriter Don McLean called the day the music died. The 1959 crash of a chartered Bonanza that took the lives of Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and DJ J.P. Richardson, a.k.a. the Big Bopper, has touched music fans and inspired conspiracy theories. The event's impact on the music industry was even lamented by the character John Milner in the film American Graffiti. But February 3, 1959 would be especially tough for at least two performers who might have been on that plane had circumstances been different. Buddy Holly had grown tired of touring the Midwest on a bus with no heat, so he chartered the plane, but there wasn't room for all the band members. Dion DiMucci, leader of the doo-wop group Dion and the Belmonts, and who later had a solo hit with Abraham, Martin, and John, told the Palm Beach Post he won a coin toss to ride the plane, but gave up his seat to Ritchie Valens, telling him, quote, "You need to get a hot bath in a warm room. You go. I was in a group, and he was alone out there. I think I'm doing him a favor. They were so much a part of my life, I didn't realize how much. All I know is I still miss those guys," unquote. But perhaps no one was haunted by the crash more than Waylon Jennings. A former DJ at KDAV in Lubbock, Texas, Jennings went on to become Holly's close friend and the bass player for the Crickets. Jennings gave up his seat on the ill-fated Bonanza to the Big Bopper, who was also ill. Jennings would later go on to fame in the outlaw country music scene with Willie Nelson and eventually sing the famous theme song for the Dukes of Hazzard TV show and serve as its narrator. But the late performer and songwriter, who died of complications of diabetes in 2002, said he never forgot his last words to his friend that night. He recalled Holly joking, quote, "I hope your old bus freezes up," unquote. Jennings recalled his joking reply, "I hope your damn plane crashes." We may never know when we're talking to a friend for the last time. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is 2004 National Flight Instructor of the Year, Doug Stewart, who will be talking to us in his role as spokesman for the TBO NAFI Interim Working Group. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.